National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. In 2021, Canada declared September 30th as the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. This statutory holiday encourages Canadians to reflect on the atrocities of the residential school system and engage in the ongoing journey of reconciliation. The discovery of potential anomalies in the ground near former residential school sites raised awareness, bringing to light the deep scars left by these institutions across the country. History of residential schools. Prior to the arrival of Europeans to the area, Simcoe County was home to the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee and, prior to those two peoples, the Wendat, who lived in harmony with nature. While no residential school existed in Rama, there was an Indian day school on the Rama Reserve where similar injustices, including alleged physical, verbal and sexual abuse, occurred. These day schools, however, were not part of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission or the Indian Residential School Settlement Agreement of 2006. In August 2019, the federal court approved a class settlement to compensate survivors of day schools. Ontario also had several residential schools, including the Mohawk Institute in Brantford and St. Anne's in Fort Albany. In total, 18 federally recognized residential schools were located in Ontario. These schools were part of Canada's harmful residential school system that deeply impacted Indigenous communities. Photo credit, theindigenousfoundation.org. The forced assimilation of Indigenous peoples occurred in both the United States and Canada. In 1819, the U.S. Congress passed the Civilization Fund Act, promoting American education to Indigenous societies and enforcing the civilization process. Similarly, in Canada, the Indian Act of 1876 formalized policies aimed at assimilating Indigenous peoples, most notably through the residential school system. Both nations' efforts to civilize Indigenous peoples resulted in long-lasting trauma and harm to their communities. Local conservation efforts. In this region, local efforts to conserve Wai Marsh and restore habitats along the Nottawasaga River honor the traditional role of Indigenous peoples as stewards of the land. Various groups are leading meaningful change, ensuring that cultural preservation and environmental conservation go hand in hand. The old-growth forests near Tiny Marsh and in the Oro-Medonte region hold deep cultural significance, serving as stewards of history for centuries. Their loss parallels the loss of language and culture endured by those affected by residential schools. Protecting these sacred spaces is not just conservation, it's an act of reconciliation. Art and healing, Emily Carr's contribution. Emily Carr, a renowned Canadian painter and writer from Victoria, British Columbia, offers a poignant connection to the themes of this day through her profound respect for Indigenous peoples, their customs and the landscapes they revered. Carr's iconic works, such as Totem Walk, painted in Alaska's Sitka Forest, reflect her exploration of Indigenous totems and her deep reverence for the culture and history of First Nations peoples. Carr committed herself to documenting the province's disappearing Indigenous culture, an aspiration she regularly shared with her Aboriginal hosts. At a time when colonial attitudes often dismissed Indigenous traditions, Carr sought to understand and honor them. Her immersion in Indigenous communities allowed her to grasp the sacred bond between the land and its people, a connection she fought to convey through her art. Carr's work serves as a reminder that understanding history, art, and the environment is essential in the journey toward healing and reconciliation. Totem Walk at Sitka, Emily Carr, Art Gallery of Greater Victoria. Government and Church Collaboration in the Residential School System. The residential school system in Canada was funded by the federal government and operated primarily by Christian churches, including the Roman Catholic, Anglican, United and Presbyterian churches. These institutions were responsible for enforcing assimilation policies, removing Indigenous children from their families and erasing their cultural identities. At its height around 1930, the residential school system totaled 80 institutions. This collaboration between the government and churches left deep scars on Indigenous communities, which continue to be addressed through efforts like Orange Shirt Day and the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. founder of Orange Shirt Day, Phyllis Webstad's story. Orange Shirt Day isn't just about remembering the past, it's a call to action for the future. Phyllis Webstad's story of her orange shirt being taken away on her first day of residential school has become a powerful symbol. Today, the orange shirt represents reclaiming everything that was lost. This September 30th, as we wear our orange shirts and remember the children who never came home, let's also honor the forests, rivers, and sacred places around us. In doing so, we protect the land, the people, and the future we are all working to build. Photo credit, EMSB Communications. Monica Ricola is a certified landscape designer and horticulturist with a passion for protecting both nature and human rights. She shares her expertise and insights through her weekly column, Garden Path.